B-Pod Studios.
Our man Lid is hitting us up here on Twitter saying that he would even reconsider Brett if the Sixers won the championship. I'm like, damn, that's powerful right there.
Wait, he wouldn't reconsider?
No, he would.
Oh, I mean, okay. Dwayne Casey was coach of the year. Worked out pretty well for them.
It's a go-to for a lot of us, myself included, but they also did happen to get the best player in the league at the time in the same year.
Sure, now they're not skipping a beat all over again.
Yeah, you know what else they had? You know what else they had? They also had a starter who was like, how do I get better? And he learned how to shoot. And he's still pretty damn good.
He could be most improved player of the year multiple times.
Yeah. Somebody was saying this weekend that they got better defensively losing Kawhi. And to just say that out loud is weird.
Yeah, is your brain working?
These were NBA people. Like, the analysts saying it.
Well, it's a funny thing. Like, two things have been said about Kawhi Leonard that have just been insane over the last 2 years. One is, when he was in the playoffs, and this includes against the Sixers, people were like, wow, no one's played this well in the playoffs since Jordan.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody labeled it a hot take.
No.
They were like, no, it's pretty right.
He's pretty ridiculous.
And then
I think he's going to win it again this year.
And then the other thing that also revolves around Kawhi, but it's not necessarily him focused, is the idea of the Raptors getting better defensively without Kawhi Leonard.
What it do, baby?
I even hate myself for saying. Like, the Jordan thing, whatever. But this, it's a little interesting.
Isn't that crazy? The best player in the league right now, or one of the best, you lose, and Jamie, you said it, you don't skip a beat.
It's amazing.
That's what happens when your marquee players choose to get better over an offseason, especially offensively speaking, like a guy like Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the ray of light. Like I said, I watched the game last night, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe there's positives here because they're missing their two best players, and they're hanging against a team that has a great player, and he's having a great night.
Mm-hmm.
So should there be positives that come out of it? But looking long-term, I mean, I'll ask you guys, and Mark, I think I know your answer, but do you see something that makes you say, well, if this happens, the Sixers could do that?
What do you mean, like if Ben Simmons shoots, they could win a championship, like that kind of thing?
Well, let's just take it into the here and now. If something happens then, I'm looking at it, and I just, schematically, I don't see how defensively they're going to stop other teams enough to win in the playoffs. And offensively, all of a sudden, change schematically that things are going to look vastly different, that they're going to be able to win in the playoffs.
I think,
am I missing something? Can they win in the playoffs at all?
Yeah. This year, no.
This year, no.
No.
Okay. And that's all I'm looking at is this year.
Yeah, no.
I mean, well, first off, Ben Simmons being out.
If there was any hope, it's gone now.
Yeah. Barring any deep playoff run, which we know. Does anyone see this team without Ben Simmons making it out of the first round even? I don't.
If Joel Embiid absolutely decides to dominate.
Right now, I give you $1,000. You're putting $1,000 on the
Sixers.
See, there's
the if that I was. Well, yeah. But like, when I say that, I mean, like, he has to basically carry this team and put up like 40 and 20 a night.
But without Ben, this team has to become an inside out team. Like, Joe has to stay down low. Because, look, without Ben Simmons crashing the lane, right, and going to the basket, you can have Al Horford and Joel Embiid down low, and you can be fine. And Joel can still play outside a little bit, but you're going to have shooters more so on the court with, and these aren't marquee names by any means, but you're going to have Shake Milton with the ability to shoot. You're going to have Josh Richardson, who certainly had the ability to shoot last night. And you're going to have Alec Perks with the ability to shoot, and Furkan Korkmaz, where that's all he's really offering anyway. So you can play that inside-out game, get the ball down low to Joel Embiid, he gets double-teamed, kick it out, and he has looked better getting out of those double-teams to find the open man on the perimeter. But even with doing that they don't have the shooters that are good enough to carry you in that type of offense, but that's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
I mean, even Al Horford, like I said before the break, was hitting threes for you.
Yeah, they shot 14 for 30 last night from three. That kept them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's not really how they're who they are,
right? But without Ben Simmons this time around,
right,
are they going to make it out of the playoffs? Are you betting on the Sixers to make it out of the first round of the playoffs? No Ben Simmons right now. Joel Embiid questionable.
I believe the Celtics locked in the 3 seed yesterday too.
I think they did as well. So I don't see the Sixers making it out of the first round of the playoffs without Ben Simmons.
No. And what bothers me even more with Ben Simmons, I don't know how great I feel about this team in the playoffs coming up.
Yeah, it was a possibility with Ben.
Yeah, I'm so upset with the way this team has not improved.
Yeah, and that comes down to coaching.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I've told you guys a million times, watching a meaningless exhibition game, Sixers-Boston years ago up in Boston, and Boston has like the third string out there, but they're running an offense. They have schemes and they're running things. Whether it ended in a basket or not, probably didn't because the talent wasn't there enough, but they got to where they wanted to be and they got the shot they wanted because they had a scheme. I rarely see that with this Sixers team. Mm. You know, and that's the frustration level that I get to. Is the talent there? Yeah, I believe the talent is there. There's plenty of talent around. But they're bailing themselves out with, as was the case last night, three-pointers, with Al Horford shooting way more than he's ever shot in his career, and not an offense that's catering to the three-pointer, but they're shooting it out of desperation. And when they go in, it keeps them in a game. I just, the good teams in the NBA that you see moving forward is, boom, here is your set cycle. This is what we do. This is what we're looking for offensively. If that doesn't happen, then we're doing this. Here's my substitution. Look what I have coming in. When this guy comes in, we go to a different scheme offensively and defensively. We know how to stop another team. If their player's starting to go off, we'll change in the middle of a game and run doubles at him. I never see any of that with the 76ers.
It is wild. Al Horford this year set a career high in three-point attempts. This year, in a shutdown season,
yeah,
set a career high for three-point attempts. But if you are going to play this game without Ben Simmons, I think they do have to rely on their not okay, not good at all, but shooting from the outside. Like, think about that for a second. That's not this team's identity, but it's almost what it has to become. It's Joel Embiid dominate down low. Oh, you can't do that. Kick it out. Hopefully you get an open shot after a double team. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. But I don't see them making it out, like we were saying earlier, out of the first round of the playoffs. And you're talking about the coaching right now. But when I watch this team, the word that comes to mind is disorganized. Like, yeah. You want to talk about coaching? Coaching is Joel Embiid still trying to back a guy down from the three-point line. Like, that's not that's coaching right there. That's not good, fundamentally sound basketball. Motion away from the ball. That's not, you don't see that on this team. That's coaching. But when you look at the talent that's on the floor at the same time together, it is like discombobulated. There's some kind of disconnect. There's just some kind of miscommunication, or there's communication that's just not good communication at all. And that's where I look at the disorganized way this team plays basketball. The talent is not organized properly. And yes, overall, that's coaching. But mostly when we call out coaches for a lack of coaching, it comes down to guys not improving. Yeah. Not, oh, wait a minute. I know Alec Burks is better than Raul Neto. How come he's not playing more? Now he is. When you look at Ben Simmons going down to the power forward position, that kind of sounds like you're neutering your all-star point guard. Yet he does it. Like, that's disorganization. It really even goes beyond the realm of coaching. And I look at it and going, I how do you fit this square peg into that round hole after 4 months of looking at the game? 4 months of this.
Yeah.
You're looking at it and going, oh, well, this is how these pieces are going to fit better. Yeah, not the case.
I was watching one of the games. I don't know what game it was this week, but Embiid gets doubled, and he kicks it out, and somebody hits a three, and the announcer's going off of what a great play it was. And I was like, that's as fundamental as it gets. And the fact that you're, you know, lauding it is just, it was laughable to me because my first thought was they should have plays out of that double. Mm. He should have multiple. And here's something else. Big man gets, and you know, watching other games, you see it a lot. So I'm Joel Embiid. I get the ball. Here comes the double. I kick it out and get rid of it. A lot of people, all right, there it is. Play's over. He kicked it out, shot, right? How about kick it out? Once you kick it out, that double leaves you. They don't keep double teaming you when you get rid of the ball. How about if now you make some kind of a curl move, or God forbid, maybe somebody sets an off the ball screen, somehow get the ball back. It's like a secondary fast break. Get the ball back to Joel Embiid. So it's, he gets the ball, here comes the attention. He gets rid of the ball, there goes the attention, right? Mm. Double team leaves. Get him the ball right back again. Joel Embiid, once you pass it, get yourself an even better position to get the ball back and go up strong and power in. Never see it. Never.
Hopefully
it does. It comes back. You're right, Mark. It comes back to coaching, and I'm just not seeing it right now.
But do you hear what I'm saying in the word disorganized?
I totally agree.
Like, I've never looked at a coach and be like, this just isn't, like, okay, hold on. Maybe Eddie Jordan. All right. And I don't want to put that stank on Brett Brown. I don't want to put that stank on Brett Brown. But like, the whole Princeton offense BS, like, that was just disorganization. But at least there was a method there. The method here is like, hey, guys, I'm your coach. Can you make a play? All right, cool. Like, that's the coaching. That's what it seems like right now, especially when you don't see guys make the leaps and bounds improvements in what their deficiencies were at the start of their game. Like, Ben Simmons has always been a good defender. He went from a good defender to an elite defender. Like, Pascal Siakam, for instance, went from being a good player now to a great player because he could shoot from the outside. He got better at what his deficiency was when he came into the league. And I've been saying, and you said it again, like, has there ever been a guy to win, like, back-to-back most improved player? Like, in all honesty, like, you go from a guy who's like a off the bench good role player guy to an all star. Like,
did you
good.
Hear Luka? Luka was asked about, because he went off again this weekend. Yeah. They asked him about most improved player, and Luka was like, "Please, I don't belong in that category. Just give the award to Devontae Graham down in Charlotte."
Yeah,
and I was like, "That's such a cool answer."
That was
it really is. Now we're gonna hear from Draymond Green,
but Siakam could be in that conversation too.
No, he could absolutely.
He's sort of
So. We watched Brett Brown over the weekend, and we watched him try to organize the chaos that we see in front of us, right? And especially now with Ben Simmons out, and to be, not even to be fair, but to tell the full story here, we've been looking at Ben Simmons, whether it's been an injury or foul trouble, and we've barely really seen him since the game started counting. But then we flip the channel, or we flip our attention to the Flyers, and like, it's hard to think of a coach that has had this quick an impact with a franchise and this positive impact on a franchise as quick as Alain Vigneault in his first season with the team.
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about organizing talent? And look, Kevin Hayes coming to this squad has not been anything to just brush aside. Or Carter Hart's emergence hasn't been anything to just brush aside. But when you have a coach like that is that established come in here, and this isn't his first gig like Brett Brown, but Brett Brown's been at the job now for 7 years. Alain Vigneault comes in here, and everybody we talk to a man, is all about accountability. That's what makes Alain Vigneault the coach that he is. And you can't hold players accountable if they don't respect you.
Do you think he knows hoops?
And, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. Hey, Vince Lombardi won like a state champion as a high school basketball coach. He had never coached basketball before. He read a book.
There you go.
He read a book.
Coaching's coaching.
Yeah, can you relate to the players? You relate to the players. Who was it? Was it Wooden? That got offered the some kind of crazy. I think it was the Tigers' job. Or no, it was the Cubs' job.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other, John Wooden. Yeah, it was. Anyway, it's an urban legend. But here's the deal. Now he broke my brain. Thanks.
it was his favorite sport, baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
John Wooden.
Yep.
There are people that are born to be coaches.
Oh, sure.
I'm not kidding. And like, you can put them in any sport at any time, and they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, wow, that guy's really good at this. Even though you might not know the game, all right, we got to figure out how to get him the ball or how to get him the puck or whatever. There are people that are made for that, and John Wooden was one of them.
Well, check out this story real quick, just a side rail.
Now you're free.
No, it's amazing. It's awesome.
What do you got?
So a few months before he died, John Wooden arranged for a barbecue at the home of a close friend. He invited Joe Torre, Mike Socia, he invited Vin Scully, Jeff Morad, and a couple other guys from the Padres. He invited John Savage, the current UCLA baseball coach, and Gary Adams, the famous retired Bruins coach. He wanted one more chance to talk about his favorite sport, one more chance to talk baseball.
Wow.
And he said to one of the coaches, you know, you're coaching my favorite sport.
Oh, my God. All right.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Yeah. Now, let's just...
So, Alain Vigneault...
No, Bob, now I'm there. It's impossible.
Right. No, come on, you can do it.
We're talking all school. No, because now you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of I'm laying on my deathbed, which ironically enough, I was just texting with a buddy of mine yesterday in the scenario of like deathbed scenarios. Anyway, what? Yeah, it's a weird thing. But anyway.
Wait, no.
No, we can't rabbit brush. Hole a rabbit hole.
Yes,
no,
we can.
No, we can't rabbit
we
hole.
We can't triple stamp a double stamp.
All right, long story short, my buddy asked me to sing at his wedding. I was already drunk. He asked me, he sprung it on me at the last minute to sing Fly Me to the Moon, Frank Sinatra, right?
Right.
I was already three sheets to the wind, and I sang the first verse of the song twice. So in my idiot brain, I was like, you know, on my deathbed, I'll be saying I ruined Mikey's wedding. Anyway, so now get out of that rabbit hole into the first rabbit hole.
Alain Vigneault coaching the Sixers, pull out.
No, that's the original topic. In the first rabbit hole, the scenario that you rolled out there with Wooden dying in his deathbed, Vince Scully's there. Could you imagine laying on your deathbed, Vince Scully's like announcing your guests? Like, that's the way to go, is it not? So Alain Vigneault is a great coach, is what I'm saying here. And it takes a great coach to hold all these players accountable. Yeah!
There you go.
There we go. That's how you get out of those rabbit holes, folks.
I'd go to the phone.
But, But when you think about it, that's what we want out of every coach, is we want him to hold his players accountable. That doesn't happen if the players don't respect the head coach.
Question for both of you. Can that happen in the NBA? Because yes. I feel like the great team... It can, but I don't think it's easy.
You got to be like Popovich.
I think there's
You at least have had to have played in the
league. Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I think
a lot of it depends
on the player.
Be brilliant. You be Brad Stevens, you'll be good to go.
Like I honestly think it's a 50-50 mix. I think a lot depends on the player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ruin today just tweeted me, focus. Thank you. All right, Steve. Rat. Sorry that happened.
Call back, Steven, my bad.
Yeah. What? Did you hang up on him?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was a known troll. That was my bad. One that curses all the time. So I heard the voice and blacked out and just hit dump and drop.
Any other fun facts?
Call back, Steven, my bad.
Any other fun facts on Coach Wooden? Any got anything else on Coach Wooden there?
He won a lot of championships.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard he had to...
I heard a book that he wrote one time.
He made his players tie his shoes his way. Tie your shoes.
I've heard that story.
Yeah. Now you're going to learn to tie your shoes the Wooden way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's one of my favorite stories. That I did not know.
That's one of my favorite stories. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I had a coach that if you ever went to, like, you know, say you're up 50 points and you're taken out of the game and you know you're not going to go back in, like if you're one of the starters or better players, if you even thought about untying your shoes, you were out. Seriously. He said that's disrespectful to the other team. And I still abide by those rules. I don't... You know, even in AAU games, if my kids were sitting there and weren't paying attention, sit up, pay attention to the game. And, you know, you're here for 40 minutes, whatever it is. You know, show the other team enough respect and show your teammates enough respect. Be ready.
Do you think Alain Vigneault has his players tie their skates?
The Vigneault way?
The AV way?
No.
That's
see, that's
what's got him working.
Well, that's another great sign of another great coach is how some guys need that. Yeah. Some guys might need... Tie your skates the AV way, other guys might not. And as a coach, you need to read exactly what those guys want. And you know, his first statement that we all jumped on, that we loved him, and I think the players did too, was what he said about Jake Voracek. I love Jake the person. I need to love more Jake the hockey player.
See, and that's why, I mean, you have to treat each player like their own individual. You can't treat them all and handle all of them the exact same way. You respect them all. You love them all. But whatever it takes to get that player going, you got to figure out what the quarter is to put in that machine to get him going. And that's what Alain Vigneault has figured out so well. Brett, I think he thinks, oh, yeah, make a play. These guys, you know, this is the NBA. It's totally different. These guys all have their own brand. And hockey players have their own brand, too, but not to the degree of basketball players. Mm. I mean, for instance, you're playing with, you know, five different lines at times. You're playing with a starting five. And two of those guys in your starting five for the Sixers definitely have their own brand. That's for sure. 610-632-0975. We come back. All the takes. Plus, if you didn't hear Draymond Green... on Joel Embiid, we told you we'd get to him in this hour. We're going to get to him in this hour. Draymond Green over the weekend talking about Joel Embiid. We'll play a game, Find the Lie. Time of the Fanatic is 8:21. And you know, with sports being back, it means sports betting is back. And that's why you got to bet with my good friends at Parks Casino and Sportsbook right in Bucks County, just up I-95 from Philadelphia. Stop in for great nightlife, great place to eat as well. And... if you want to play some table games as well, socially distanced table games, slot machines, all that, they're ready for you to be there. But as far as sports betting goes, you got to download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app to your phone right now and get in on all the action. Got some great bets going on. And you know, here's the deal. When you have a company that's right up the street from you, like Parks Casino, when you got one that's your hometown team, like Parks Casino, the number one Pennsylvania casino, then here's what you got to do. You got to bet with them because you can trust them. Don't trust some faceless overseas company, one that's so big they actually forget about their customers. You got to trust the hometown team, my team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And how about this? Right now, you can sign up and get a risk-free bet for $500. That's right, risk-free bet up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA, PARX casino.com, and use my promo code Fanatic to get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Their website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your losses. A free bet must be 21 or older. Present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Bobby's back from vacation, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, was he raring to go. You know what we need to do at some point, maybe tomorrow, is play the Jeff Van Gundy cuts for Bob and just get his reaction.
Yeah, he was great.
He was really, really good.
The voice of a generation.
Depressing, but great, yes.
It wasn't depressing. It was a dose of reality that we needed to hear.
Yeah, you know, guess what? Sometimes, Pat, reality's depressing, you know?
That's right?
We all can't.
He lives with it every day. He knows.
We all can't prance around in our Pizza Planet t-shirts all day. You know what I'm saying? Have ourselves a great time.
You can. You just have to buy one, Mark.
Oh, well. I don't have $9. So there you go.
It was 10.
So welcome back, Bob.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
This 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law.
Read two books during vacation, Mark, just for you. Nerd. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, that was going to be.
I know that's important.
Oh, but wow. There it goes.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Speaking of all the takes, Pat Egan standing by. He's recovered from his update. He's back right there. Pat, what's happening?
Whew. Rough update.
It happens.
Hey, minor setback for a major comeback.
What do you have for us, buddy?
Bob read a book over the weekend. Bob, what book did you read?
It's called The Innocent Man by John Grisham.
A really good Netflix show.
Was it?
Well, it's a docuseries. I shouldn't say show. Is it really? Yeah, it's a 6-part docuseries. Very, very good.
Huh, it's a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good stuff.
Kid that was supposed to be the next Mickey Mantle coming out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a couple of them. They dive into a couple of them. But if you like the book, then check
and
out.
Then I was also reading, Pat, Every Day I Fight by Stuart. Oh, my God. His name's blanking from
Stuart
me.
Stuart Bradley.
No, the ESPN guy who died from.
Stuart Scott.
Stuart Scott, yes.
Woo.
But anyway, go ahead, Pat. This is your segment, not mine.
No, well, I had that in All the Takes.
What just happened?
All right. Well, so I had his book segment in All the Takes. It's
book segment?
Yeah, it's Bob's book club.
A segment within a segment?
Yeah, it's Bobby's,
wow.
Bobby's, that's a rabbit hole within a rabbit hole.
That really is.
Bobby's, wow.
We are multi-layered.
You're not a member of Bobby's book club?
I've never been a part of a big book club.
Okay. Pizza Hut back in the day.
Okay, book it, definitely.
Book it was awesome.
My mom was great. My mom read the books. I got fatter. That's how that worked. Pat, what do you got?
Commissioner of the Power Five Conferences had a conference call to discuss canceling the upcoming season.
Uh-huh.
This comes on the heels of the Big Ten discussing pulling the plug on fall sports. The MAC canceled fall sports, including football. My question to you guys is, it seems like it's inevitable that we're not going to get football in the fall. Do you think we get football in the spring?
Wait, for college?
Yeah,
college
football. I'm talking strictly college.
So listening to the interview from the gentleman you're referencing right now, he sounded like he hadn't even gotten started on putting together a textbook on how they would pull that off.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be possible.
I don't think there's college football.
I've been saying that forever.
Yeah.
But I don't think a spring season is possible.
Not if you haven't already started to figure it out.
Yeah,
no.
Unless you can... Look, bubble sports... aren't going to happen. Like baseball, you can socially distance. Football is a totally different animal. The pro players, we've even argued over whether or not they should be doing what they're doing. The amateur athletes, no way in hell should be doing what they're doing, or at least attempting to do what they do. What else you got, Pat?
All right, after the A's, Ramon Laureano got hit 3 times this weekend by Astros pitchers. The third time, he had enough. So he said some things. The Astros, they said some things. And there was a mini benches clearing brawl. Now, Major League Baseball said fighting or instigating fights was not going to be prohibited, and a violation would result in, quote, severe discipline. But if you listen to the audio, the Astros are clearly egging him on.
Oh, absolutely. They had him 3 times.
Yeah, but it was
great. I mean, the coach stepped to him from the dugout steps.
Yeah, I don't. First off, you have to understand there's something that we often say bigger than you, something bigger than the game, something bigger than you. COVID's bigger than you, so don't like go full speed ahead. But at the same time, maybe not hit the guy 3 times.
There's a great meme out there. It says Rob Manfred is the coach, and then it's like the coach is the Astros penalty. And then the 3 coaches in front of him are Rob Manfred, Rob Manfred, Rob Manfred, and Laureano, the guy that's charging, is all of Major League Baseball and baseball fans wanting punishment for the Astros.
That's pretty good. I like that. Look, if you get hit once, hey, man up, go to first base. You get hit twice, hey, tell the pitcher, tell the dugout where they can, you know, go. Third time, all right. It's time to throw down. Like, I don't know if I would have charged to the whole team. That's a gutsy move. But that might be where you're seeking out a guy in the bowels of the stadium.
It's worth mentioning that the A's are the reason why, you know, the lid got blown off of this Astros scandal, because Mike Fiers ended up revealing, he pitched for the Astros, he revealed, hey, by the way, they're cheating. So this might have been in retaliation. Ramon Loreno is a very weird person to decide to go after, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of discipline, though, the Indians sent one of their best pitchers home after 25-year-old Zach Plesac. Obviously, he's the son of Dan Plesac, former Philly great.
Picked him up in fantasy.
Well, you might want to drop him because he left his team hotel and the team sent him home for breaking the safety rules. Plesac, by the way, was dealing this season with a 1-1 record and a 1.29 ERA, so it's not like they're sending home a scrub.
No, good. That's what needs to happen now.
Did you say motel?
I said hotel.
Holiday Inn.
Well done.
Thank you. But I was
hoping that's what you said.
Was Jamie on Twitch when that was said? Yes, he was. Okay. I want everyone to see the joy on Jamie's face when he got that, when Pat walked right into that.
I wasn't even trying to set him up, but I had to finish it.
I mean, how do you not? I mean, it's right there.
I legit thought he said motel.
In your words, Jamie, it'd be rude not to.
That's teamwork right there.
That is teamwork. There's more chemistry in that room over there than there is in Sixers locker room, tell you that much. Anyway.
That sucks for my fantasy team, not that anybody cares.
Yeah, but this is what
Plesac was dealing with.
So here's my take on it. This needed to happen.
Yeah, it does.
After the Marlins, who went out and got glasses of milk?
Accountability, Mark. Word of the day.
Accountability is the word of the day. And that's exactly what needed to happen. After the Marlins fiasco, you can't have a guy breaking quarantine no matter how. I was actually happy to see how well he had been doing before they said, guess what? You're out. Like, that's what needs to happen. That's my take on it. If you really want to finish a baseball season, you can't be running around all willy-nilly about town getting glasses of milk anywhere. Bob, what's your take?
Yeah, willy-nilly, sure. No, they did the exact right thing. Good. More of it. Let's go. Keep it up.
What else you got, Pat?
Now, folks will probably be arguing for years who had the better Eagles career, Frank Gore or Jatavis Brown. This comes after the linebacker abruptly retired, never having played a down with the Eagles. 26-year-old signed a one-year deal back in March and said, you know what? I'm good.
So who's your linebacker now? Here's my take
Paul
on that.
Paul Orlow.
My take on it was this. First of all, I saw Joe Ostman. I almost called him Joel Olstein. Joe Osmond was back, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy who was hype on for 2 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he had an injury. But who's your, and he plays that.
Nate Gary's back from COVID, right?
Nate Gary, he was on the list. He was on the watch list, more or less. So, like, who's playing linebacker for you right now?
It's concerning.
Nate Gary.
Still no, okay, cool.
They don't value the position.
Where's that Jordan fella? Jordan Hall? Who's the linebacker? Jordan Matthews? What's his name? Not Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews is the wide receiver.
I'm thinking of Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks.
Didn't he get cut by the Arizona team?
Did he?
I don't know. I think he
led them in tackles.
I think he did too. But somebody got cut from them.
There's a rumor Hassan Reddick could be available. I would very much be in favor of that.
He's never really fit in Arizona.
Oh, well,
they've had trouble integrating.
He already does fit in. Philadelphia.
Yeah. And I saw our buddy Mike Kay tweet this week over the weekend, you know, LJ Fort, who's down and thriving with the Ravens, was released by the Eagles for no apparent reason.
Oh, really?
And he became a pretty good player for them.
Wasn't it because they got a compensation pick? If they released him, it was one of those where if they released him at a certain date, they got a compensation.
Well,
that's smart when you have so much
linebacker depth that you can do that.
Yeah, well, that's what the Eagles have.
Yeah, apparently he wasn't released. Jordan Hicks still with the Cardinals.
Damn. Okay, 23-year-old Colin Morikawa won the PGA Championship in only his second career major. Go.
Hell of a shot on 16.
Ridiculous.
Par four, he put it on.
You didn't watch any of it?
I didn't watch any golf.
Really?
I was busy putting together a scooter.
Oh, God.
I had golf on the big screen, Sixers on the small screen.
Oh, what kind of, are you even a Philly guy?
Yeah.
Are you even a Philly guy? You know who wouldn't do that? Sean Couturier, Philly guy.
Yeah.
That's who would do that.
Yeah, they were interviewing Paul Casey, who finished second, about Morikawa's shot on 16. And they were like, what were you thinking when you saw that shot? Because he saw it.
Uh-huh.
And he went, that's a hell of a golf shot.
What happened to my boy DeChambeau?
He was there. Meat heading out. Royd Raiden.
Breaking clubs.
He's my brother. Did he break another club?
No.
Somebody did, though. One, right? Shane Lowry broke one. Hit a bad shot. Not Kyle Lowry.
I felt bad for Claude because Claude said when he bets golf, he only bets on Tiger.
Yeah. So yesterday was in the 11th month period upcoming, we're going to have 7 golf majors.
Yes.
You know what was cool, though, about yesterday was that no fans were allowed, obviously, only reporters. So Steph Curry, who's a big golf fan, got a press pass and asked the first two questions. And he didn't he didn't really introduce himself. It wasn't like, hey, you know, I'm Steph Curry from the Warriors. And Morikawa goes, no, you got to take your hat off. People need to know who you are. You can't just slide in here like you're a golf reporter. And he has decent questions, too.
Good move.
Well, he's a sick golfer himself. Yeah. And he grew up playing, and
I respect Morikawa too because he said, "Yeah, my caddy's a big Warriors fan. I'm not." Steph just went, "Oh, okay, I respect that.
Cool, thanks, bro."
Yeah, he's 23 years old. What he did yesterday, I think he's made 24 straight cuts. Jamie,
he's phenomenal.
Which matches which matches a record or broke the record of Tiger Woods. Oh. Like this guy's real deal.
Yeah.
And he's very articulate. He's good looking dude. Like he might be one of the faces of golf coming up, much like Pat Egan is the face of radio.
Ah, well, you said it. I'm just agreeing with it.
How good looking is he though?
Very good looking.
Is he like more handsome than like prime Phil Mickelson?
Yes, I would take him.
Very handsome.
Yeah. I think he's a very good looking guy. I'm not.
DeChambeau. You know, where do you just tell
I can't stand
Bob,
him.
Give me your top.
He's a punch in the face guy.
DeChambeau.
He didn't take.
That's my boy.
He complained about fire ants the other day that he needed to move his ball because it was too close to a hole that was hosting some fire ants.
Well, you know what?
The official looked at him and was like, hit the damn ball.
Bob, you need to watch Meat Eater because fire ants are dangerous. Okay?
Yeah.
And the borehole? The borehole was like a vortex to another dimension. All right? Do you want to fall into that? I don't think so. Don't rip my brother in Puma.
You really like him.
I just like that he gets on everybody's nerves. I was laughing at him when he goes out.
Him and Brooks Koepka are good for golf in that they're easily hateable. Did you see Koepka's comments about Dustin Johnson on Saturday? Koepka said about DJ, because DJ was, you know, either in the lead or tied for the lead going into Sunday, and he said, yeah, you know, I look at the guys ahead of me, and, you know, they don't really have what it takes. I mean, what, DJ's only won one?
Yeah.
And that's what those were his words, not mine.
And he wasn't kidding around?
No.
Because he does say a lot of stuff.
He's a Richard. And I like him, but he is you need those enemies. It's good for golf.
He said something yesterday, like, yeah, 6,000 calories a day. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one that called him out for roiding.
Last thing on golf here. You ever notice that whenever somebody is a complete douche, we're like, well, golf needs it. You know what I mean? Like, we always look for that guy to be a complete jerk in golf.
Oh, the bad boy of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that.
But he's good for the sport.
We need Happy Gilmore. See, it's always the guy that's a... Anyway.
It's like wrestling. You got to have somebody to hate,
right? You need a heel in golf. A gentleman's game. What else you got, Pat?
I just want to say, Bob came back so refreshed. Full of pith and vinegar. It's great.
What else you got, Pat? You got any?
Okay, you know, I got
what
more
else
stuff,
you got,
man.
Pizza
I'm coming at you.
Not usually full of piss and vinegar? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's pith and vinegar.
I said piss.
Yeah, the proper term is pith.
We can argue about
that later. That's not in the takes. What is in the takes is, now I know you guys aren't big MMA fans, but...
Correct. Heavyweight,
if we talked about golf for 5 minutes, talking about this. Heavyweight Derek Lewis is appointment viewing, if nothing else except for his post-fight pressers when he wins. So here's Lewis getting interviewed by Philly's own Paul Felder.
You have the most knockouts in UFC heavyweight history, my friend. Well, listen, we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, hello?
Can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yeah, what's up, man?
All right, well, before you go and remove your bowels out there in the bathroom.
Whoa. Wait, how do you put that?
Remove your bowels.
All right, hold on. All right.
Things got weird.
So he had to go poo. He had to go poop.
This is the second time he's mentioned that he had to do that after fighting Travis Brown. He was holding his stomach, and he said, yeah, I was holding my stomach because I had to do a number two, and that's why I needed to get him out of there in round one. He also has gone on and said that shout out to his wife because he's doing something with her later tonight. He also said he slimmed down because he was having all the sex.
Yeah.
So, for nothing else, when he fights, you need to watch him because he's appointment television.
I enjoy that. I didn't realize that was all the same guy. That is fantastic.
Yeah, okay. Now,
the boy watch.
Yeah, no, he's great. And the best part is he doesn't even like MMA. He doesn't watch it at all. He was calling his opponent Alexis, and it was Alexei, and they're like, do you think he knows? And no, he really doesn't know.
Yeah, if you think about all the sports, the one that you would give the least crap about your opponent would probably be this one. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and beat his ass.
Yeah, so he got kind of dominated in round, not dominated, but he got taken down in round one, and in round two he said, no, screw this, and he just came out and knocked the guy out. All right, now, for this week in history, 1971, a legend was born, a Phillies legend, by the name of Sal Fasano.
Hey!
Oh, I love Sal Fasano.
Happy birthday to Sal and his pals.
I was just tweeting about
Braves
Sal.
Braves bench coach.
Yeah, he's like the catching coach, the catcher's coach.
Yeah, he looked like he multiplied.
He's a future manager.
It's so horrible. But somebody tweeted me, they're like, because I tweeted out his picture from the Braves website, and they looked at him and they went, God, did Sal eat his pals? somebody also tweeted me that he was a jerk to fans.
He bought them pizza.
He bought them like 20 pizzas.
Yeah, that's not right.
What the hell's wrong with people?
He has an interesting story, too, with his daughter. So his daughter has like a very rare something. Something's up with her.
Okay.
He kept trying to play. I don't know what it's called, so I'm not going to lie.
She's not healthy, I guess.
Yes,
but
she's got something. And he kept trying to play and hang on for so long because if you play one day in the majors, you get the major league benefits.
Uh-huh.
So he kept trying to play and play and play, and eventually he said, okay, I'll be a coach, and now he's with the Braves to, you know, continue his career. But it was an interesting story.
Plus, I also think you get the benefits if you're in the league so long. Like for the amount of years you spent in uniform, like this was the thing that supposedly with Ruben Amaro Jr. while he became a first base coach. Because it's like there's a certain amount of years of service time in a major league uniform where you get the benefits for like the rest of your life, whether that's a pension or whatever.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Sal had qualified at that point, but
I would assume. I thought he played more than Ruben, but anyway.
And finally, the Flyers, number one seed.
Yeah!
And somewhere on Twitter, someone is complaining that we're not talking hockey.
Thank you, Pat.
That's all the takes.
Goodbye. And it did happen over the weekend. I was tweeting about the Flyers. It was like, oh yeah, now you watch the Flyers. Like, no, I watched them all year.
Hey,
I watched Flyers.
Don't question a Zamboner's heart with the Flyers.
See, I'm not going to go. I got sucked into this months ago when the Flyers were in the midst of winning 9 in a row because there's the velvet rope Flyers fans. There's the orange velvet rope Flyers fans
which
that are like,
the way it's always going to be. So just accept it.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm a Flyers fan before anything else. Like, I'm not a hockey fan as much as I am a Flyers fan. I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm also, you know, an NFL fan. I'm a Sixers fan, but I'm also an NBA fan. You know, it goes through the whole thing. That's just the way hockey is, unfortunately. But I never stop being a Flyers fan, and that's the way a lot of people look at it. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I'm still watching.
Sure.
But they always choose to put that orange rope up, saying, no, you can't come in. Seats taken.
That's what I
all are welcome at the table of plenty.
I hate getting the tweets of, oh, you guys aren't talking enough hockey. And it's like, well, no, we just did. Yeah, but you didn't talk enough about it. It's like, well, you're getting what you want. We're talking hockey, and now you're complaining that we're not talking enough hockey.
You didn't talk about the third line. Talk about the third line. Like, that's what
that's kind of where Zamboners were born from. Like, like the velvet rope keepers. We're trying to usher in the masses.
Oh, okay.
We're always watching. It might not be our number one.
And then
we're trying to, you know, join the two forces together.
Then the elitists are in there going, they have their drinks and their cocktails already. Like, oh, who are these? Who's letting the riffraff in?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm letting the riffraff in.
There's just a certain group that you can never please.
Are you a chairman as the president?
I don't want to appoint myself a position, but Zamboner Nation, we all know who we are.
I understand.
And how can you tell another Zamboner if you just by looking at him?
You have to talk to him for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to get to know.
They're usually wearing a Michael Remberg jersey.
Yeah.
Nice starter, Michael Remberg.
Hell yeah.
Okay,
maybe a Sean Podine.
Okay.
Throwback.
Complete with mouthpiece.
Ron Flockhart.
Wow.
Callista.
Jesus.
Oof. That's what I think he meant to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. No, I agree. Great hair. No.
Do you think Ron Hexall's having a tough time watching this?
No. He shouldn't. He should be Ed Wade like.
Well, no. that's what I mean. Like a tough time. Like these are my pieces.
This is all my idea.
Yeah,
that's what he's thinking.
Damn you,
right
Chuck
now.
Fletcher.
No,
Kevin Hayes was a good move.
I think he's probably like Sam Hinkie sitting back there and going, "All right, yeah, my process works."
Yeah, but it's tough when you're fired and watching that.
Yeah, and also here's the other thing: they brought in another head coach, and that's a pretty big.
That's
deal.
A huge piece.
Yeah,
of
that, absolutely. And he didn't want to move, right?
Well, that
he
was
didn't want to move off.
That's
of that.
What did him in.
Yeah,
his
exactly.
refusal to move because he had Hackstall's back in the closed door meetings and all that.
Imagine dying on Dave Hackstall Hill, like going back and your family and friends are like, "What? How did it go?" And you go, "I couldn't be without Dave.
Yeah.
I just needed
to you."
I needed the hack. The hack attack is back, Jack.
To flip that to the Sixers real quick, I don't think Elton Brand will want to die on Brett Brownhill.
No, because he didn't hire him.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, like Elton Brand wants to be a long-time like GM in this league, and you're not going to get that position. You're not going to be a perennial
He's not
GM.
Going down with the ship.
Yeah, with being like, well, no, Brett's the guy that's got
to
be here.
Yeah, Ron was willing to go down with the Hackstall ship. I don't think EB will be willing to go down with the Brett. And that's going to be tough for him because, you know, they have a pretty close relationship.
Hackstall caught on with something. The Leafs, I believe?
He's a bench coach.
Yeah,
with,
the Leafs.
Yeah,
the
I think
Leafs,
the Leafs, yeah.
All right, look, I promise this. We're going to get to this when we come back here. it's Draymond Green. We're going to talk to Jim Lineham at the top of the hour, Coach Jim Lineham. But it's Draymond Green. We're going to play a little game called Find the Lie.
He's brother Jim Lineham, though.
Your brother.
He's raising houses out in Lancaster in his part-time.
We're going to talk to Jebediah Lineham when he comes back.
I love Jim.
He's got some free time because he's not at Reading Terminal right now.
Those breakfast rolls down there that the Amish people do on the pretzel rolls?
They are no joke.
Ooh, that is a top Philly food item.
Dangerous. Ooh. Dangerous.
Seth Fasano played 11 years in the major leagues.
It was probably around his 10th year, because your 10th year is when you get the full benefits.
Yeah, then this article was 10-plus years ago.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. He was probably given a chance to get his full benefit package.
Ruben Amaro Jr. was 8 years in Major League Baseball.
Seven years too many?
What? Damn, wow.
He was a member of the 1993 Phillies, Pat.
And what did they do again?
They put some respect.
I remember Dykstra got hurt, and he had a couple of really good games there, Ruben Amar.
Look at that.
You don't know, Pat.
You didn't even know.
I'm not a sports guy.
You didn't even know Calista Flockhart, so that's don't even waste my time.
I'm not a sports guy.
She's married to
Harrison Ford.
There you go.
Of course. When we come back, 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to our man, Jebediah Lineham. Coming up at the top of the hour here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster and Bag at your state at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. We've been teasing this for the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. Draymond Green on Joel Embiid. Find the lie, Bob Cooney.
All right.
Here he is.
But Joel also has to do himself a favor. He's posting up almost at the three-point line. You can't get spacing like that either. There's no one in the NBA that can stop Joel from getting the position he wants. Joel pretty much need to think about the game like this. Anytime he shoots a jump shot, he's bailing his defender out. He's giving.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.